There's a Monopoly board where our lawn used to grow. The arrows on the sidewalk tell us all where to go. They've led us to a land where the stores never close and the employees are spent like a ghost. The currency cartel is on nobody's side. Commercials for happy solutions to buy. Every want has a price, like every month has a flavor. But this season is stacked in their favor. So we're moving out of Park Place and the hollow railroad sounds. And the Boardwalk Corporation is a barren, wasted town. And a reunited family feels the New Year's freedom call. And we can all share in a new reign by buying nothing at all. By buying nothing at all. Our impotent rulers who we voted in can't put their kingdom together again. We've been paying through the nose to serve a king with no clothes, and we wonder who is running this show. Our systems evolve through the roof of a mercantile chessboard. Do you feel like a pawn? Do you feel like a pawn? Do you feel? So we're moving out of Park Place and the hollow railroad sounds. And Boardwalk Corporation is a barren, wasted town. And a reunited family feels the New Year's freedom call. We can all share in a new reign by buying nothing at all. Buying nothing at all. There's a Monopoly board where our lawn used to grow. But this Christmas time, the stores are all closed. 'Cause we're spending time together. We left our wallets at home. And our joy will rekindle the season's glow. Our new joy will fuel the fire's glow.
I mean, the law of the country.
American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men, and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Tuesday, December 6th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, the WAG Global SITREP for Core Political Turning Technology and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening to this program, you are too. You can read all those news stories along with me by going to my live journal, and you can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Osprey Radio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa, and SRN1. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way that you see fit. And let's all hear it for the brand new Christmas season, which is upon us now. Hey, is everybody out there stressing out? Everybody got their shit all, you know, turned up to 11 in order to deal with all the stress that's going on right now? I hope so. I hope everybody just freaks out at Christmas. To be honest with you, I don't actually hope everyone freaks out at Christmas. But, you know, I do have to say that Christmas is becoming a very controversial holiday. You know, and never mind the fact that it's got religious overtones and all the rest of it. People are really concerned about the religious overtones of Christmas, you know. But, I mean, the reason for the season and all that kind of jazz and blah, blah, blah. I'm all for holidays. I like holidays. I think they're good. You know, it's good to, you know, have something, have an excuse to feel nice about. It's good to have any excuse where you can try to get back together with your family again. Holidays are hard on a lot of people. But one thing that from that song in the beginning intro there, it's becoming this huge spend fest. You know, I mean, they're already starting in October to start nailing you down on the whole Christmas thing. Everything in October, they start on in October now to get the big, you know, October, November, December, like a three-month run to get Christmas up and going. And then, of course, they got the Boxing Day and New Year's sales and stuff like that. So this is really the financial part where they really just farm the hell out of us, you know? And I don't really agree with that. I think it's not really the best idea to, you know, go heavily in debt just so that you don't get guilted because of Christmas gifts. Now, I myself, I'm buying Christmas gifts, but I have a limit to what I'm doing. When I was, you know, younger and I had no responsibilities and I had nothing but money, I could just, you know, go and drop, like, you know, a couple hundred bucks on knives for friends and stuff like that. You know, I'm a big fan of giving knives. I like to give knives. That's like my big gift idea is to give people knives. And unfortunately, I wanted to get somebody a knife this year, but the one-stop knife shop doesn't ship to Canada anymore, so I was all pissed off with that. But anyway, regardless, I digress. I guess there's too much credit card fraud going on. But generally, I began to think that, you know, you should probably have a cutoff limit of what you're going to spend on your buddies. You know, I think about $25 is good, you know, and you shouldn't buy for everybody. You know, get a couple ones, one or two for your friends, tell everybody not to bother. You know, Sim doesn't want anything for Christmas. He wants to, you know, appreciate the buying stuff. So if I get him something for Christmas, he's going to feel all bad. You know, so I don't really know. You know, everybody's got their own viewpoint on Christmas. You know, but I would say that people shouldn't, you know, panic over it. You know, people shouldn't feel pressured. I feel pressured. I mean, I've got to buy my wife stuff. If I don't buy my wife stuff, I guess that means I don't love her, right? I mean, that's not true. But I guess it's one of those kind of things that kind of gets slipped into the mind. That's one of the memes that get sent to us. It's something to think about. How much money are we spending? How much are we being farmed out by the core political in our Christmas season, you know? I mean, if this is... That's why I guess nobody wants it to be a religious holiday. Because if it was a religious holiday, well, we wouldn't spend as much money, would we? I mean, really. Speaking of religion, I got some feedback here. Dear Sean, I heard you rant about Islam on your show, and I can't help but feel that you are more than a little biased. Okay, first of all, I don't ever claim really not to be biased. It's my show, so, you know, I try to do what I can. Well, I try to be honest, not necessarily biased. So let's say I'm biased by the truth. Ooh, there's a propagandic type statement. When it comes to the topic, go read the Quran. Go befriend a Muslim. And learn about the person and the religious role in their culture firsthand. Go read the history of the 19th and 20th century Middle East. Okay, so he's telling me to go read a lot of people and make friends with Muslims, which is fine. I think you will come to a better understanding of Islam and Islamic terrorism. The Quran does not tell the faithful to kill the infidels. This is what he's saying here. The Quran does not tell the faithful to kill the infidels. The average Muslim wants to get along. And the history... And history has not been kind to many Middle Eastern countries as of late. See end of message for links to Quranic information. Also, like the Holy Bible passage, the Quran can be taken out of context or taken too literally. Well, okay, I'm going to get through this. I shall regurgitate what I heard on Newsreel 2:14, 4700 to 4704, 11:28-05. In relation to anti-Semitism and the relationship between the Jews and everyone else, you said, we need to start looking at reasons to make people more in common and not separate them more, which is true. My interpretation of what you said is basically that we should be finding common ground between religious groups and establishing dialogue in a way that does not alienate. Well, that's great that you interpretate that in that way. That's not necessarily what I was saying. It's not what I was saying. Yeah, this is great. This is what the good thing about interpretation. What I said there was we need to start looking at reasons to make people more in common and not separate them more, which means getting rid of religion, because all religion is based on lies. Based on a lie. It's a lie. So you're not going to be able to build, you know, a good foundation on something that's based on a lie. It's not going to work. But anyway, previous to this statement, I've heard you insult, mock, and demean various religions. No, not various. All of them. Particularly Islam. No, not particularly Islam. Islam has been getting the brunt of it lately because, you know, they're the ones blowing themselves up in pizzerias. But, you know, if the Jews were blowing themselves up on pizzerias, I wouldn't hesitate. I'd be mocking them, too. And incidentally, I have gone off many an occasion every time. Focus on the family and all the other Christmas sex. So don't be sitting here calling me, you know, all sorts of names. Of course, people are going to do that anyway. Oh, Sean's racist. Yeah, okay, whatever. Herein lies the hypocrisy. How do you expect to find common ground with the faithful when you seem to be always on the attack? Okay, I'm all for education. Faithful, the faithful, are people who have been lied to. There's no problem with these people. They're good people. Very, very nice. But they have been lied to. And the faithful, that's a great catchphrase. And you're falling into all these common traps here. And when you add the Church of Satan follower on your show, you were non-judgmental and discovered this guy was pretty cool and his beliefs were not so scary after all. This is from the Church of Satan interview I did on the Sean Kennedy Show, and that was probably about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago. I'm guessing on that. I'm not too sure how long ago that was. And I was just talking about Church of Satan, saw what that was all about, which actually the Church of Satan isn't a religion, just so you know. I mean, it's listed as religion, but they're all about self-empowerment. And for the record, I don't think the guy was very cool. He was just a different kind of guy. I didn't think he was not kind of... I mean, he's pretty cool in the sense that he's okay and he's not killing anybody, you know. This is why I should go full circle and get a guest on your show who's a practicing Muslim. Perhaps afterwards you wouldn't be so paranoid. Oh, I'm paranoid now. What I've come to understand is that religion can be two-faced. Oh, I'm glad you're seeing things my way. In every religion, you have those who worship the god of ignorance and those who worship the god of enlightenment. This includes polytheistic faith. From the ignorant, we have Catholicism and its many offsprings, pushing for intelligent design in schools as part of science classes. With Islam, there's some crazed religious leaders that grab any opportunity for power and use the minds and souls of the faithful to their own political ends. I would ask you if there's any religious leader in any faith who does not use the minds of his followers to his own political ends. That's true from the Pope to any mullah you like to whatever the titles are for the rabbis. I mean, they all do the same thing. It's all manipulation of the masses. I've even seen this in some Buddhists who just don't quite get it, picking up New Age religions left, right, and center, but learning nothing. I'm sure you can recall many evils perpetrated by the religious ignorant. And I don't mean to mention cults. However, there is also much good perpetration by the religious enlightened. For example, there are Catholic nuns who run orphanages and genuinely care for children. So that's good for the people. That means nothing for the religion, though. In history, we see many Muslims who were great scientists. There have been many great Buddhist thinkers and doers. It just sucks that all the bad in the world is louder than the good. With that out of the way, I have a question. Do you know where an Australian can find Max Headroom on DVD or online? Well, I would try eBay. I've been looking for it for a long time and with no luck. I'm a huge cyberpunk fan, so you can probably imagine the pain I'm going through. Anyway, love your show. Love what you did with Tales from the Afterglow. I have no idea what Season 3 was all about, but I enjoyed it just as much. Well, thanks. Thanks. At least he's on board for Season 3. Jesus. Looking forward to your response, Philippine Z, the fucking atheist. Okay, fair ball. Now, you must understand here that Muslims, much like Jews and Christians, are not bad people. They're not bad people. Okay, what they have is they have brain poisoning due to this religion virus. Now, he's talking about the Quran and the Muslim faith. Okay, well, let's look at the Quran, you know, and have a look here. Let's look at Surah 4:138, where it says, "Those who believe, then disbelieve, then believe again, then disbelieve, and then increase in disbelief, Allah will never forgive them, nor will he guide them to the right highway." So if you're in and out, you're out. It goes on to Surah 489. They desire that you should disbelieve as they have disbelieved, so that you might all be alike. Therefore, take not from them among your friends until they fly their homes in Allah's way, but turn their back. Then seize them and kill them wherever you find them. And in Surah 492, it says that it does not behoove a believer to kill a believer unless by mistake. And whoever kills a believer by mistake, he should free a believing slave. These are ideas they have about slavery and stuff like that. We have made a hell of a prison for the unbelievers. Surah 16:8, Surah 9:5-6. Kill those who join other gods with God wherever you may find them. So lots of religious tolerance there. Surah 4:76. Those who believe fight in the cause of God. So got to go to war. And Surah 4:74, we will give a handsome reward, is what it says here. We let those who find the cause of God who barter the life of the world of that which is to come. And it goes on and on and on and on. There's lots of quotes in the Quran for people. If you're following the Quran, okay, let's cut the shit. All right, you need to understand that any religion, and this isn't specific to the Quran, it's also true in Leviticus in the Bible. They talk about killing people who are homosexuals. Okay, kill them all. Cheat on your wife, you get to die. You gay, you get to die. Beat the shit out of your kids, or they'll be spoiled rotten. That's all from the Bible. And, you know, I haven't actually gotten my hands on the Torah, but I guess, you know, it could be argued that the King James Version, blah, 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 blah. And it goes on and on and on. So what we've got here is we've got a set of rules and laws that use enforcement due to death and stuff like this. And the overriding power is if you don't believe in our God, you get to die. You know, nobody ever talks about, you know, tolerance. It's not really a real big thing there. So for people to sit there and say, oh, Sean, I can't believe this, blah, 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 blah. Make friends with a Muslim. I've got buddies who are Muslim. Thanks for calling. One of the nice things about living in British Columbia is that we've got a lot of different multicultures here. That can be good and it can be bad, but, you know, for what's worth, I've had a chance to, you know, yak with a couple Muslims who are willing to talk to me about what's going down. And I still think they're brain poisoned. You're banging your face on the floor 5 times a day, worshiping a rock. Okay? Come on now. Let's all keep this in fucking perspective here. Religion is insanity. It totally doesn't make fucking sense. We need to get past these so-called, you know, proud traditions. Well, we've done great things in the past. Well, fucking good for you. That just shows human ingenuity, not the brilliance of religion. Don't give me that shit. I cannot believe that people have such this huge attachment to religion. And the reason why that is, you know why that is? I mean, what's the draw? What's the big fucking draw to religions? Any religion, from Scientology, that dangerous, psychotic, brain-damaged cult, to the actual classical religions of things like Christianity, Judaism, Islam, all that kind of stuff. Why? Why? Why are they so keen on these faiths? And the reason why, I'll give it to you straight, the reason why is because they're seeking purpose. They want purpose. This is the reason why the military is so popular, because it gives people purpose. I mean, the army is the biggest cult that ever was. I'll be the first guy to admit that shit. They do all kinds of cult shit in there. Okay, they don't blatantly go out and start, well, you know, it could be argued they actually do go out and pray and meditate and stuff like that, but they don't farm themselves as religion. The army does not claim to be a religion, but they use a lot of cult tactics. Okay, so we'll go with that. But people seek purpose. If there was no religion, I mean, think of all these older people who are going there, they've gone to church their whole lives, suddenly it was disproven and the whole thing was just, you know, shot to shit, these people would lose their purpose. This is what happened when the Christians came into North America and did the wonderful bout of genocide on the entire Native First Nations people that were here. Wiped them the fuck out. And those who were wiped out, well, they took away their faith and therefore their vision of purpose. So everyone's afraid that if they lose their religion, they won't have purpose anymore. And I'm here to tell you, we need to ditch these outmoded, outdated, warmongering concepts of religion and start looking towards a cause of brotherhood, things that are like exact, quantifiable science, things like mathematics, things like technology, so that we can have everyone ally together. I have no doubt that Muslims are smart people. I have no doubt Jews are smart people. You know what I mean? Germans are smart people. Everybody's smart. We have good and bad in every culture, but it's a matter of filtering out the bad stuff in these cultures. And one of the things that causes a lot of problems is religion. It can't be argued. It cannot be fucking argued. And people are like, oh, my descendancy. I'm a Serb. I'm a Croat. I'm a Muslim. It doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't matter. Your nationalistic pride is bullshit. Okay? You've got to quit it. Otherwise, it's just going to be war, war, and more war until the end of fucking time. And that's the reason for almost every single religious holiday, for regardless of faith. It's all about peace and living in peace and loving your neighbor and all that kind of shit. So in one breath, they say, live in peace and love your neighbor. And the next breath, they say, kill the infidel. I don't know, man. Seems to me to be a mixed message. And anything that can be exploited in that way, it's not worth it. The cons far outweigh the pros. And it's time to bin this outmoded, outdated form of mud hut theology. We just got to ditch this shit and get into a realm where we can all grow up and look at the world for what it is. Stop fucking around. And have a Merry Christmas. Another piece of feedback here. Dear Sean, about the tree rats. Now, everyone knows the tree rats are evil. The infamous squirrels. I have a simple solution to this crazy ninja squirrel problem, dude. Eat the motherfuckers. Assert your position on the food chain. Actually, I'm quite serious. I eat them. Those little bastards or tree rats are delicious. If you ever are in my part of the world the right time of year, I shall prove it to you. Trust me, you'd like it. The CWD thing isn't funny, though. CWD is this mad cow disease for squirrels. It's bad enough that deer get it. Deer, by the way, are also rather tasty. I know. I just got given some moose meat. Actually, it's sitting in my freezer right now. I'm looking forward to making some sangies later. CWE is essentially mad cow disease. It would suck if we had to stop eating all this stuff. And that was from Smokehouse. And P.S. Black bear tastes like shoe leather. I've never had bear. I can't see why I'd eat bear. You know what I mean? Tree rats? I don't know anything about cooking and eating squirrels. You know, but I imagine it'd be a pretty easy fucking animal to nail. You know, maybe if I'm going to start the hunting thing, I should start with squirrel. Anybody's out there got some good squirrel recipes or ways to field improvise, you know, cook, kill, eat a squirrel on the wild. I'm pretty sure Sim won't let me film that and put that on patrolling. But, you know, it'd be interesting to do. I mean, I could show people how to fish. I mean, I wonder if you could survive on a diet of fish and squirrels. Probably you should survive, you know, live on a diet of fish, maybe some wild berries and stuff like that. But I would like to know how to bag a squirrel, because squirrels, you find them everywhere. Some animals, like if you just eat rabbit, you'll die of starvation. There's not a lot of nutritional value in rabbits, apparently. But, yeah, I'd like to know more about this whole eating squirrels thing. I never really thought about it, but I'm telling you. Be a lot of chubby hobos in Stanley Park if they learn how to nail squirrels. Moving right along here. Dear Sean, I'm a big fan of newsreel and patrolling. Now, I'm from Belgium. I went through your country once. I fell asleep on a train and missed half of it. I'm 16 years old, and then this year we will go on what they call a challenge, which is some kind of survival trip. Okay, so he's going on a survival trip. I had to buy boots and stuff for that, and while buying... used your guidelines from the first patrolling season. Well, I hope they help you out there, buddy. I bought it all in an American Army shop. Yes, the American Army sells their crap to consumers all over the globe. Hoorah! But then I noticed a box with those meals, the same as you eat, also from the American Army. Those would be MREs. I bought one to take with me on the survival trip, but now I'm wondering, there's no expiration date on it. That's because it never, ever expires. It's good till the end of time. And the shop's owner said they had them for 1 year. Now, I'm wondering, how many years does the Army sell them, and how long... do these things last in total? Well, it all depends, because you've given me kind of a different sort of description here. I don't know if you've got Canadian or American MREs, but there are numbers, and NATO stock numbers are your MREs, where you can just type that in, look on the internet, depending on the MRE and the type, and get the information there. So I can't tell you for sure. I know that they last for at least 5 years, but regardless of what it says on the actual package, this is from DLSS. If you crack it open and anything smells bad or it doesn't smell good in any way, shape, or form, and I mean, like if it smells rotten, it may not smell good, but you know what I mean. If it smells rotten or it looks like it's been fucked with anyway, don't eat it. Okay, if it smells bad, don't eat it. Same sort of idea for women. You know, if they smell bad, don't eat them. Dear Sean, I was full service Navy. Now I'm in the Army National Guard. Well, good for you. Nice to see that you're still in the game. Good to see the green cult is still going. Soldiers drink with soldiers. Anyway, hell of a change. Yeah, I'm here to tell you. I know what you're saying, man. When I went from Reg Force, I'm looking at some of these reservist guys. Yeah, it's different. But I get more toys here in the National Guard. Yeah, I know. The second largest Air Force in the world is the National Guard. Hell, it's almost worthwhile just to join the National Guard Air Force. You get to fly around in Hueys and gunships and shit. I mean, my God, the kit these guys got is unreal. I completely understand what you said last week. People on full service seem to view it as just another job. And in the Navy, they had the habit of whining when it was time for deployment. The Guard, on the other hand, is full of people who seem to have their lives stable. They still want to kick ass for the country. It's a whole different mindset. It totally is. It totally is. Know some of all and know all of some. And that was from Caberlord. Well, I'm glad that you're still out there, you know, doing your little bit there, Caberlord. I hope that's working out for you. Clearly, you seem to like it. It seems to be working out well for you. But yeah, it's funny. You know, there's so many ticket punchers in the Canadian Army. Never really dealt with the Americans. Well, that's not true. I worked with them once. I had a bunch of Special Forces Rangers who wouldn't get out of a truck because it was too cold, which was really, you know, wow, what an eye-opener that was for me. No, we're not getting out of the truck. It's too cold. Special Forces Rangers. I'm like, holy crap, dude. It's too cold? I can't believe this. But, you know, to be fair, you know, they're probably the shit in the jungle, but they're not very good in the snow. You know, not so good in the snow. But that said, I mean, you know, that's why we got different soldiers from different parts of the world. And there's the corruption of the military mindset, which is going on now. Like, me personally, I'll go out on the limb here. I mean, a lot of people, you know, if people don't want to call me, you know, they're going to start calling me a racist and stuff like that because I happen to think religion is shit, which I don't really understand how that works. But I don't think chicks should really be along in the combat arms either. And that's not because of anything other than fact and science. When you look at all the reports and all the studies and all the history of all the different armies that have tried it, there have been instances where it has worked, where the Israelis had some all-female military and stuff like that, but even the Israelis abandoned that one. I think women should be in positions of command. I think women could probably even be snipers. I could even probably see chicks on spec ops teams, you know, for police, SWAT, and all that kind of jazz. Yeah, you bet. No problem. But there's too many political and psychological games that gets played between men and women in a combat scenario for extended sessions for it to be, you know, militarily viable, and that's why I'm not into it. It's got nothing to do with, you know, who's stronger, who's better. It has to do with the dynamic between men and women, and that's why it doesn't work. And people just can't seem to face that. They don't seem to understand that women and men are different. I cannot make a baby with my body. Women can. That's kind of a beautiful, wonderful thing. People are different. You know, we just, rather than try to pretend like we're all the fucking same, why don't we just accept each other's differences and focus on where we are strong versus where we are weak? If we were to do that, there wouldn't be any men in the cockpits of all these fighter jets around the world, because when you look at it, biologically, women have a better hand-eye coordination, and yeah, I'd be all for the angels coming in and fucking dropping bombs if you have, because you're taken from genetically superior stock if you check women for cockpits. It's just, like, they have better hand-eye, better immune system, better coordination, you know, realistically, the only thing guys are good for along that lines is to get a sharp stick and try to kill each other. But in any case, I digress. In brain news, according to this news release, a team of neuroscientists at Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis has discovered that it is possible to accurately predict if a game players will succeed or fail by scanning their brains. Now, this is quite a story here. Before starting the game, they scanned the volunteers with functional brain imaging and found that their future choices in 70% of the tests. The researchers concluded that visual perception not only depends on the quality of sensor signals, but also on the variability of internal signals. Now, it'd be interesting to take like a chess game or whatever, have a brain scanner built into that so that the computer could scan your brain, know what moves you are thinking of doing, and then counter it. Yeah, that's some Skynet shit going on there. This study was conducted the members of the Attention and Brain Recovery Lab, in particular Maurizio Corbetta, a professor of neurology at the Eilat Sapir, a postdoctoral research associate in neurology. Oh, pardon me. And Eilat Sapir, a postdoctoral research associate in neurology. The figure shown illustrates the research themes of neuroscientists, which are to understand the neural basis of the human cognition, and particularly vision and attention. Areas of the human brain involved in these processes are visualized in vivo of normal volunteers used functioning magnetic resonance imaging. These methods allow us to record hemodynamic changes in the brain that indirectly related to neuronal activity during normal behavior. Okay, well, it gets really heady from here, no pun intended, but it's interesting that now we're starting to break the humans down into being nothing more than just androids. We humans are essentially just, you know, robots made of meat. That's the scientific standpoint. I don't know if I buy into that because there's a lot of, you know, phenomena that doesn't seem to really back that. I'm looking that science may not be wrong, but it might be missing things. They're making theories, and theories are unproven for a reason. So, you know, although Some people say, I thought you didn't like religion, Sean. I don't like religion. I think it's a waste of fucking time. But just because I don't like religion doesn't mean that I don't think that the organized religions of the world, you know, I think that they're full of shit, but that doesn't mean that all spirituality is completely toast. It just means I don't buy the particularly prepackaged pablum that they're handing out to people. And it's not totally unknown or unforeseeable that everyone can have an individualistic kind of look on their own spiritualism. It's everyone has their own journey. Everyone's in different positions in their life. So although I'm not against spiritualism, people can be spiritual all they want. If they just happen to go with the Torah or the Bible, that's great. But no one should be a middleman to God. I think everybody should have their own relationship with whatever kind of God they want. That's fine. But don't go basing, you know, world policy decisions on what you think was scrawled on some ancient text 2,000 years ago. That's just fucking psychotic. Speaking of 2,000 years ago, in Lost World News, in Visoko, in Bosnia-Herzegovina, with eyes trained to recognize... Now, this is an interesting part of the world, because this whole area is, like, totally balkanized and completely a big bag of shit right now. Everybody's trying to kill each other over there. With eyes trained to recognize pyramids hidden in the hills of El Salvador, Mexico, and Peru, Simir Osmanjic has been drawn to a mound overlooking central Bosnian town. This is in Bosnia. It has all the elements, four perfectly shaped slopes pointing towards a cardinal points, a flat top, and an entrance to a complex. An entrance complex, he said, gazing at the hill, wondering what lies beneath the hill. No pyramids are known in Europe. But there is no evidence of any ancient civilization ever attempted to build one. But Osmanjic, a Bosnian archaeologist who spent the last 15 years studying pyramids of Latin America, suspects there is one here in his Balkan homeland. We have already dug out stone blocks, which I believe are covering the pyramid, he said. We found a paved entrance, plateau, and discovered underground tunnels. You don't need to be an expert to realize what this is. Osmanjic, 45, who now lives in Houston, is personally financing the excavation of the Visokian Hill, a 2,120-foot hump outside of Visoko, a town about 20 miles northwest of the capital of Sarajevo. He learned about the hill in April from Sinad Hadovic, the director of a museum devoted to the history of Visoko, which is rich in Bronze Age and medieval artifacts. Hadovic attempted a promotion of an Osmanjic book about ancient civilizations and thought he would like to see Visoko's pyramid-shaped hill. When the pair climbed the hill, the sweeping review revealed a second, smaller pyramid-shaped hill. It reminded Osmanjic of pairs of pyramids he had seen in Latin America that together create a gateway into a valley. After obtaining a permit to research the site, which is protected by state and national monument, the first probe in the hill were carried out this summer at 6 points. Nadja Nukic, a geologist involved with the research, said she found 15 anomalies suggesting that some layers of the hill were man-made. Very interesting shit that we've got this ancient technology, ancient pyramids, in Europe. This is interesting because, you know, if mankind wasn't, you know, this falls back to that whole, like, what if we were a civilization before, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, that's when you get the Zachariah Stitchin crowd starts taking over. We found layers of what we call bad concrete, a definitively unnatural mixture of gravel once used to form blocks in which this hill was covered, Osmanjic said. The hill was already there, he added. Some ancient civilizations just shaped it and then coated it with its primitive concrete, and there you have a pyramid. Now, very interesting stuff. This whole pyramid thing, ancient science thing, very, very interesting stuff. And that's why I, you know, a lot of people say, well, Sean's an atheist. Well, I don't even know if I'd call myself an atheist. You know, it's not an if-then-therefore kind of thing. I'm just saying that I don't buy into all the world religions. I think they're a little bit psycho, you know, especially when they're talking about killing people just because they don't happen to agree with each other. I've always got my own I-could-be-wrong clause. I mean, Jesus shows up tomorrow, has a word with me and says, Sean, you're being a fuck. I'll be like, whoa, guess what? You can bank I'd be on the radio next day saying, guess what? Jesus showed up, talk to me. So I guess I'm full of shit, or somebody slipped me some acid or something. But, yeah, you know, so, I mean, everyone's on a personal journey here. And, again, I could be wrong, but I'm just encouraging people to think for themselves. And when I think for myself, I've got to look at this stuff when you see pyramids all over the fucking planet, all pointing at each other in major cardinal points. That tells me that we had some kind of communication going on. It tells me there had to be some sort of organized civilization that was building these fucking things for some kind of reason. Maybe it was an ancient faith. We don't know. But it begs a question. You can't deny that these pyramids are there. Now we're finding them in Europe, too. Quirky stuff, man. Quirky stuff. Charles Fort, maybe he was onto something. Anyway, seems that Russia is getting into the mix in Iran. Russia is selling 29 air defense systems to Iran. Thank you very much, Russia. The $700 million transaction is said to become Russia's largest deal since 2000. Russia intends to sell 29 Tor M1 anti-missile systems capable of downing cruise missiles and air bombs to Iran. The Venmosi newspaper told with reference to an anonymous manager of Defense Enterprises. According to the newspaper, the contract on the matter has already been signed. Now, these are defensive weapons. The Tor is solely a defensive weapon which intercepts cruise missiles. So, you know, it's kind of like buying body armor. Should we have a problem with this? I mean, they're just defending themselves, even if they are the enemy or whatever, even if they decide to attack and nuke Israel or whatever. They're talking a lot of shit right now. And I would probably be more, you know, I'd look at this and say, well, you guys are definitely talking shit. They're out there talking about nuking an entire country that's a member of the UN, so that kind of puts them into the psycho, scary enemy territory. And, you know, you're dealing with a concept of people who seem to think that mutually assured destruction isn't so good because even if they wipe out Iran, there's enough Muslims, son, these people just want to kill all the Jews. Which I don't really understand what all the Jew hatred is all about. But anyway, I guess that's what they're doing. But anyway, they're loading up on the defensive weapons. Journalists contacted the management of Kupol Dome Enterprises, which manufactures the Tor anti-missile systems, although they failed to obtain a confirmation of the above-mentioned transaction. Yeah, for sure. Like, the makers are going to talk about that shit. A source for the air defense industry said that it goes about the sale of 29 Tor M1 anti-missile complexes on the base of the Greek order. Greece purchased 21 systems and was intended to acquire 29 more. The company turned the order down at the end of the 90s. Experts to evaluate the available contract to the sum of $700 million. Interesting. Interesting that Iran is bulking up on these weapons. Mikhail Barbanov, an editor with the Export Arms magazine. Wow, can I get a subscription to that? Export of Arms magazine. Do we have any listeners in Russia? I'm just wondering, because it'd be neat if we did, you know? Maybe we could get some WOGs over there in Russia talking to us about what's going on. Maybe they give us an inside scoop here, you know, see if we could get something happening there. It said that the contract to sell 29 Tor M1 air defense systems to Iran became the largest transaction in Russia since 2000. So good for Russia. They need the money. In 2000, Russia pulled out of a secret agreement with the USA about restricted arms deliveries to Iran. The document was known as the Chernomorin Protocol. Jesus, these guys got some kind of handles over there. Moscow undertook not to strike any defense deals with Iran. In return, the USA promised to help Russia enter the international market with defense technologies. The promise was not kept, though. Imagine that. Nobody's keeping promises. When Russia pulled out from the secret agreement with the USA, we expected Iran to become Russia's largest importer after China and India. However, the weapons, which Iran purchased from Russia during the following 5 years, will evaluate it to the sum of $300 to $400 million. To all appearances, the Iranian administration thought that Russia would not be able to run U.S. independent defense policy after the story with the Gore-Chernomorin Protocol. Now, the transaction is not supposed to raise concerns within the U.S. administration. Tor systems are tactical weapons. The deal should therefore be perceived as a commercial operation first and foremost. This is according to Valgis Gusnov, director of the International Strategic Estimations and Analysis. Now, that's exactly what I said. It's a defensive weapon. It's a tactical weapon. It's not an offensive weapon. Shouldn't be a big deal. Iran needs to defend the atomic power plant in Bushehr, which is currently being built with Russia's participation. Oh, look at that. So Russia's helping them with the nukes. Israel may strike a preventative blow on Iran's nuclear object in Bushehr. On Iran's nuclear object. It's a nuclear object now. Israeli officials have confirmed such a possibility on several occasions, and people have said that they're not going to wait until March before they strike. So this whole thing with Iran could touch some shit off. It's a little bit scary, to be sure. And on the subject of war, let's look at a drug war. The drug war within the United States. Sometimes, now this is an editorial, normally I don't talk about editorials this much, but this one was interesting. Sometimes people in law enforcement will hear it whispered that I'm a former cop who favors decriminalization of marijuana laws. And they'll approach me the way they might such a traitor or a snitch. So let me set the record straight. Yes, I was a cop for 34 years, last six of which I spent as the chief of Seattle's police department. 34-year veteran cop, 6 years as chief of police in Seattle. But no, I don't favor decriminalization. I favor legalization, and it's not just for pot, but for all drugs, including heroin, cocaine, meth, psychotropics, mushrooms, and LSD. Decriminalization, as my colleagues in the drug reform movement hasten to inform me, takes the crime out of using drugs, but continues to classify the possession and uses in public a public offense punishable by fines. I've never understood why adults shouldn't enjoy the same rights to use verboten drugs as they have to suck on a Marlboro, or knock back a scotch in water. Prohibition of alcohol fell flat on its face. The prohibition of other drugs rests on an equally woggly foundation. Not until we choose to frame responsible drug use, not an oxymoron in my dictionary, as a civil liberty, will be able to recognize the abuse of drugs, including alcohol, for what it is, medical, not a criminal matter. As a cop, I bore witness to the multiple lunacies of the war on drugs, lasting far longer than any of our national conflicts. The drug war has been prosecuted with equal vigor by Republicans and Democratic administrations, with one president after another, Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Bush, delivering sanctimonious sermons, squandering vast sums of taxpayer money, and cheerleading law enforcers from the safety of the sidelines. It is not a stretch to conclude that our draconian approach to drug use is the most injurious domestic policy since slavery. Pretty intense statements here. We want to cut back on prison overcrowding and save a bundle on the construction of new facilities. Open the doors. Let nonviolent drug offenders go. The huge increase in federal and state prison populations in the 80s and the 90s, from 139 per 100,000 residents to 1980 to 482 per 100,000 in 2003, were mainly drug convictions. So, 482 out of 100,000, so it's up quite substantially. Americans, in 1980, 580,900 Americans, over half a million Americans, were arrested on drug charges. By 2003, that figure had ballooned to over 1.5 million people arrested for drugs. We're making more arrests for drug offenses than for murder, manslaughter, forcible rape, and aggravated assault combined. I feel safer? I've witnessed the devastating effects of open-air drug markets in residential neighborhoods. Children recruited as runners, mules, and lookouts. Drug dealers and innocent citizens shot dead in firefights between rival traffickers bent on protecting or expanding their markets. Dedicated narcotics officers tortured and killed in the line of duty. Prisons filled with nonviolent drug offenders and drug-related foreign policies that foster political instability, wreak health and environmental disasters, and make life even tougher for indigenous substance farmers in places such as Latin America and Afghanistan. All of which because we like our drugs, and we can't have them without breaking the law. Very interesting commentary there. Now, the problem, of course, with legalizing drugs is that people will be stupid. People are going to go, and they're going to take this, they're going to create addictions and stuff like that, but are they going to do that anyway, aren't they? I guess people are afraid that if we legalize heroin and all that kind of jazz, we'll have ads on television, stuff like that, saying, heroin's cool, try this! But the guy goes on to have other stipulations saying advertising is illegal. You keep it as a matter of fact, I would advertise against it. Instead, make it legal so that you get rid of all these problems. But then instead of funding the war on drugs, fund a massive campaign to vilify it in the eyes of the general public. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time they've done something like this. And discourage it. Show different ways that people can get off of it. Put some research into getting people clean so that you eliminate the base desire for the drugs. That's the idea here. Of course, we'll never probably ever see that because if we make drugs legal, well, we take away the major revenue stream of organized crime. And organized crime will do whatever it takes to make sure that that doesn't happen. You see what I mean? We're just starting to crack down on the bikers inside of North America. Guys like the Hells Angels, the Mafia, all this crowd. It's ridiculous to me that we have organized crime in North America. Absolutely retarded. With the level of law enforcement and military power we have within this nation, that we tolerate organized crime and the exploitation of people the way organized crime does. Some people would say that it's unavoidable. I don't really agree with that. I think that it is possible to remove it, get it out of our society. I mean, they don't seem to have this problem in China, do they? So how are they handling that? Maybe they do have this problem in China. I don't know. But it seems to me that the people I know have been to China walking around. They feel pretty damn safe walking around over there. So, you know, something to think about. Something to see what's going on. And in toxic alert news, the chemical bisphenol A, BPA, widely used in products such as food cans, milk containers, water pipes, and even dental sealants. Dental sealants. You put the shit in your mouth. Has now been found to disrupt the important effects of estrogen in the developing brain. Scary stuff. So, you know, if you're feeding, your young developing child milk, it fucks with their brain because of this BPA in there. University of Cincinnati, UC research team, headed by Scott Belcher, PhD, reports in two articles in the December 2005 edition of the Journal of Endocrinology at the BPA. That BPA shows negative effects in brain tissue at surprisingly low doses. So a really low dose of this shit fucks you up. Now, a lot of people at first go, oh, everything fucking kills you. Shut up. Stop being stupid. Recognize that you're doing something wrong and correct it. The research was supported by funding from the National Institute of Health and the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation. These new studies are also the first to show that estrogen's rapid signaling mechanisms are active in developing and maturing brains and reasons not thought to be involved with sexual differences or reproductive functions, Dr. Belcher said. BPA has often been implicated in a disease or in developmental problems. Interesting. Of course, you know, the drug companies would rather have a lot of developmental problems, especially with the mind. That way they can, you know, make more money from it. Long known to act as artificial estrogen, the primary hormone involved in female sexual development, BPA has already been shown to increase breast cancer cell growth. In the January 2005 edition of the Journal of Cancer Research, another UC research team reported that increase in the growth of some prostate cancer cells as well. Warnings about other possible long-term health risks associated with fetal exposure to BPA have also been discussed in recent scientific literature. And I'm sure that translates across to women who drink a lot of milk who are breastfeeding. BPA molecules are linked to polymers used to create polycarbonate plastics and epoxy resins that are widely used in many products, said Dr. Belcher, an association professor in the pharmacology and cell biophysics department of UC College Medicine. While plastics are thought to be stable, scientists have known for many years that the chemical linkage between BPA molecules was unstable and that BPA leaches into food or beverages in contact with the plastics. Well, I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that one out. Everybody knows that if you drink or eat something from plastic, it tastes different from stuff that you drink or eat that's kept in glass. Me personally, I try to stick with the glass. Today's daily hack is getting video into your 5-gig iPod for free from Rogue Trooper. Thank you very much. It was bound to happen. People everywhere have discovered how to get their DVD movies and TV shows into their new iPods for free. And really, it's not that different from ripping a movie onto a PSP, except for a different transfer process. Very, very cool. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This has been a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 2 new donators, 10 one-time donations, and 50 continuing donators for a total of 62 total donators for the month of November. Thank you very much, all of you out there who give a shit for free speech. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please, please, please visit rammedia.ca and click on the donate tab because, man, every little bit helps. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at randradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to check out the album by the Beastie Boys called Check Your Head. Always good to have a little bit of Beastie Boys in there. Good Buddhist group. I'm going to leave you now with a remix, track one, by Dean Gray of American Jesus. And I'm going to be covering this entire album because, well, it's been banned. So, you know, just because, these guys get shut down, no one's able to distribute it, we're just going to give it to you one track at a time. So today, it's track one of Dean Gray's remix of, Dean Gray's Green Day, American Jesus. Until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
Say, American.
American.
Closing.
ride your love. It's time to ride your love.
Ask what your country can do for you.